How did you first get interested in ducks?
Well, I grew up in the city of Inglewood, and we were in the Inglewood pet store on La Brea, and my sister said, "Carol, come look at this." And I was just mesmerized by what I saw, the cute little yellow ducklings, and I just had to have one. And I somehow convinced my parents that my sister and I should have two of those little ducks. So that is how I got started, and it's an animal that I just absolutely have fallen in love with. It's the sweetest, most human-like animal that I've ever been around. And I've been around a lot of animals, horses, dogs, and ducks are very, very special. And I'm here today to set the record straight on who they are.
Let's talk about who they are. You got the little yellow duck, and what was she like in terms of what you thought, and what was she like that surprised you?
Well, what surprised me initially, even as an 8-year-old child, is how little people actually know about ducks. And we did have a neighbor. My sister and I started walking these ducks. They followed us all over the town of Inglewood. There are people still who remember seeing us on the streets. The ducks would follow us all over town. They would wait outside when we were in the store, and people would come running in, you know, like, "Oh, my gosh, there's two huge," and people like, "Those are the ducks from the little girls." So everybody knew, you know, we were walking these things over freeway overpasses and all over the streets of Inglewood. And if the journey was too far, we would put them in a box on skateboards and pull them along.
That's a funny image, too, walking ducks.
And they followed us. And even to the point where, you know, they are even the ones, there's a distinction between the yellow ducks that turn into the big white ducks and the ducks that fly. Most domestic breeds, in fact, all domestic breeds, do not fly. They've had the flight bred out of them over thousands of years by breeding bigger body ducks with smaller wing ducks over time. And there are several breeds now that cannot fly. So the misconception is that all ducks fly and that they all, that ducks don't drown. And we learned early on, we had a neighbor woman that would come running out, you know, scolding us for not having them in water. And I would say, "But they're not fish." And so we finally did put in a little tub for them, and much to my horror, the next morning one of them had drowned in the tub because it couldn't get out. So ducklings, they need to be able to get out of the water that they're in. Even a duck that's feathered, if it gets stranded in the water and can't get out, it will eventually drown.
I never knew that. I had no idea. What about people that say, "Well, shame on you. You're keeping a wild animal. You should just take it to the park."
This is the other lie that has been going on since I was a child. It is an absolute lie, and I am going to blame pet stores that want to make money off of selling these animals. And also, this lie has just gone on through the decades. I mean, I will admit that I grew up in the 60s with these ducks, and there were some years that I didn't have ducks. But then when I moved to Sun Valley, I just had to have ducks, and realized that some of these lies are still going on, you know, about, what was I talking about?
Well, why do people say, you know, "You really should put that duck out in the wild"?
Oh, yes. Well, the thing about ducks is they imprint, and they imprint on their parents. So if their parents are humans, they become more human-like, and they really don't need to be on a pond. You know, you can have them in a kiddie pool. You can have them, you know, they'll eat popcorn with you on the couch. They will learn how to walk up a flight of stairs and go to bed. And I have 120 ducks in my sanctuary that know that after lights are out, you stop talking.
How did you do that?
Well, I'm spiritually connected to these guys, you know, because I'm the big duck.
Oh,
and to
it.
Them, I am just another duck. I'm the big one that lives in the house. But I am the ultimate authority, and they really listen to what I say every day.
No quacking after mama turns off the lights.
Yes, or I've allowed the males, you know, if there's something going on, you know, the males can like kind of pipe up because their sound is very much more quiet than the hens. The hens are the ones that keep people up at night. So because I do live in a rural neighborhood, one of the last rural neighborhoods in Los Angeles City, still I can't be keeping the neighbors up with these ducks. And so they have to listen to what I say.
I love that.
Or it's duck soup. Not really.
No,
but
duck
I threaten
soup.
Them. Well, it's stew pot for you.
Yeah, and they probably don't believe it for a second.
They don't.
As they shouldn't. How did you first come to found Lucky Duck Sanctuary and Rescue?
Well, I was actually pulling ducks out of a local pet store that would sell the ducks, and then people would buy them at Easter time and bring them back a month later which is typically the case. Because within a month, that duck, I mean, it's really cute for about a week or two. But within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you've got a mess. And the ducks at that age are the messiest and the smelliest they'll ever be. They will outgrow some of that. But at a month old, people are like, get rid of this thing. And so, you know, a lot of the stores are saying, well, take it to a pond. Well, they're not wild animals. They've imprinted on you. They've accepted your family dog. You take it to the pond, it's going to follow you back to the car. You are its family. You are what it knows. It doesn't know pond life. It has no interest in the other ducks. It's more, it sees itself as a human more than it does a duck. And this is what people really don't realize.
What about the duck's coping skills, too, when you take it to the pond?
They have absolutely zero coping skills because you've been feeding it. You've been providing a safe haven for it. It's going to, I mean, I've had a lot of other dog and cat rescuers bring me ducks that say, I saw these ducks, they're hanging out by the fountain. I don't understand it when the pond is right there. And I'm like, they know that the fountain is where the water comes out at your house. So they're by the fountain waiting for the water to come out. And that's the sad thing about, you know, ducks really imprint, and that's how they've survived thousands of years, is imprinting on their parents. You know, whether it's a wild duck that learns the migratory bird path for it to follow, they learn that from its parents. Well, last time I checked, humans don't fly and can teach anything a migratory bird path. So what our two ducks learned, you know, my sister and I, is that their migratory bird path was on the ground. And at some point, they could walk home from any location that we took them to and lead the way home, even all the way up the driveway into the backyard.
What smart animal. Are they smarter than a dog?
Well, they're very instinctual. So whether you call that smart or instinctual, what I will say about ducks is they're very in tune with the human psyche. And I could say, stop that. And I can know what they're saying. And I, you know, like I came in one night and my duck was like, I need water. And I go, and sure enough, his water bowl was dry. So you do learn. I've learned some of their language. They've learned mine. But I've lived with these creatures now for decades, and they're all on every side of my house. So I walk outside, and they all have names. I know who they belong with. I know who's fighting. I know who the brats are that won't go in at night because they all have to go into their pens at night, you know, because we have a coyote problem.